to dig itself out from as much as 8 inches of snow by tomorrow morning. Numerous delays and cancellations are also causing problems at airports throughout the region. Parts of central and southern Indiana have seen anywhere from 3 to 5 inches of snow since early this afternoon. Heavy snow is also falling across parts of Kentucky and Ohio. More news at usaradio.com. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
What is the most influential time in a child's life? 8, 6? 8? 12? Actually, it's between 3 and 8 every afternoon. That's the time a kid is most likely to get into trouble or worse. Which is exactly why that's the time the Boys and Girls Clubs open their doors and their arms to kids all over the country every day. When kids walk into these clubs, they're surrounded by people who care what happens to them. Adults who make sure these children continue to learn and grow long after the school bell rings. In fact, with so many educational programs, most of the Boys and Girls Club members go on to college. But there are still thousands more kids who need our help. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to make sure every child has a safe place to go after school. Call 1-800-854-CLUB. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Sometimes the most interesting news is not what's happening, but what isn't happening. Why isn't there any terrorist attacks from American Muslims? Why haven't there been, in the 4 years since September 11th, any attacks on Americans by the 3 million Muslim Americans living in the United States? I mean, in France, you see revolts. You see their Islamic communities burning cars, having massive revolts against the government, raging riots. Why have American Muslims been so calm? It's a fascinating question, and really more fascinating for the fact that very few people I've seen have asked it. I mean, some people may think I'm crazy. You'd say, well, Mark, hey, September 11th happened, right? But think about September 11th. Who were the perpetrators of September 11th? The 19 terrorists on the planes were 15 Saudis and 4 Egyptians sent by another foreigner, Osama bin Laden, to murder 3,000 Americans. Why couldn't he get the native-born to do it? We see native-born Muslims attacking all the time. We've seen it in Britain with their terrorist attacks. We've seen it in France. We've certainly seen it in Iraq. We've seen it in Israel. Why aren't American Muslims taking arms against the United States? After all, the United States has certainly done many things that Arabs would have to complain about. Why aren't they attacking? It's really a fascinating question, and I think there are very many elements to it. I want to discuss today philosophy and history of the United States and of France. I've really tried to answer these questions, and I'm also very grateful to two articles in the New Republic, one by Spencer Ackerman, Why American Muslims Haven't Turned to Terrorism, this exact question, and another article by David Bell into how the French forgot to assimilate, talking about the problems with Muslims there. And I don't know that I have all the answers, but what's interesting to me is already on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com, I have 3 very different responses to this question. Take a look at what we have on the blog. You got the first guy, WD, and he says, basically, the Muslims are revolting because there are too many of them. France has too many Muslims. We don't have enough. The only reason we don't have the attacks is because we don't have as many as they do. and because Americans have guns and we'd shoot them dead. I would call this the nativist argument, if you will. Then we've got Fred, Fred writes, why don't they revolt? Well, because, we haven't really done enough. I mean, we just did a setup. The Muslims really aren't dangerous at all. It was a setup to get us to attack on the Middle East and take their oil. And so, they don't really want to hate us. The Muslims don't hate us. Well, Fred, I fully accept that there haven't been attacks by American Muslims, but clearly abroad, there are plenty of people of the Islamic faith that want to do America in, right? And then I've got Ed. Ed, you might remember Ed. I debated Ed just this week, who says, hey, Mark, it's nice to hear you say something positive about America. And he doubts that I'll give Bush and Cheney any credit, but he's glad to know that I don't think the entire world has gone to hell in a handbasket. He was beginning to think I was all gloom and doom. Well, I disagree with all three of you folks. I disagree with the nativist argument that we have, too many immigrants, and we don't have enough immigrants. France has too many immigrants. I disagree with Fred saying that, in effect, there's no threat out there. I do think there's a threat out there. And I certainly disagree with Ed, who wants to give credit to the Bush administration. To me, and this is going to take some time, folks, so that's why we've got the whole hour devoted to this topic. To me, the topic is a larger question of history, philosophy, and law, and the fundamental differences between America and France and what it means to be an American. And when we talk about promoting democracy abroad, I think we need to look here at home to see what's working. For all we try to promote and force democracy with the point of a sword abroad, we need to see that we actually are succeeding in the war on terrorism. Not in terms of protection. Heck, I'm the first to argue our homeland is not secure. We do not have chemical and nuclear plants secure. We have all kinds of dangers to physical threats. And we should protect ourselves from physical threats. But in the mind war on terror, despite the fact that the administration is stupidly paying off reporters in Iraq to try to influence their minds there, I would argue the administration is doing everything wrong. But the American spirit, and more than anything else, the American dream, is preventing terrorism right here in this country. In America, we still have this idea that anyone can succeed, that everyone has a place here, and more than anything else, you will see over the next hour as I make this argument, it is our religious pluralism. It is the idea that America is not a Christian nation, or certainly not a Jewish nation, or a Judeo-Christian nation, or even a religious nation. We are a nation that respects all religions, where you can be religious or you can be not religious and you are still American. It is precisely the fact that we have religion and we respect all religions that has kept America strong and kept us from terrorist attacks. We'll be right back.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. Here you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but
put it in.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Inside Scoop today is on a non-event. Why have we not seen American Muslims? They're at least 3 million strong. Many think far greater than that. Why haven't we seen them rise up and attack the United States? We hear all the time about Islamofascism, right? You've heard that term. Suggests, and indeed we have some people that actually suggest that if you're Muslim, you're out to get America or out to get Christians or Jews or something like that. Yet we don't have attacks by American Muslims. September 11th was not carried out by American Muslims, nor was the attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. The other two main terrorist attacks in the United States, we have the Oklahoma City bombing, right? That's some white guy, Timothy McVeigh, who hates the government. And most recently, well, not that recent, but since September 11th, we had the anthrax attack, which, if you study the powder of that anthrax, you know that it had to come from Fort Detrick, Maryland, or some other American source, because only America has the capability to develop that particular fine chemical anthrax to that fine particles that make it the most deadly. This, of course, was in spite of treaties we signed saying we wouldn't do this. It's against the law. We did it anyway, and now we're having payback. But it's got nothing to do with Islam or American Muslims or Al-Qaeda or anything else. They're Americans killing Americans. Why haven't we seen a revolt? You know, back in World War II, we feared, many Americans feared, maybe most Americans feared, Japanese Americans, American citizens of Japanese descent. We were in a massive war with the Empire of Japan, which had just done a surprise, brutal attack at Pearl Harbor. Many Americans feared that Japanese Americans, Americans of Japanese descent, would be loyal to Japan and not the United States. Thousands, tens of thousands were rounded up, put in detention camps in what I think would be considered later on one of the most shameful acts of U.S. history, because there is no evidence to this day that any of them were planning an attack on America. So why is it, with all the talk that people do and all the jokes about, hey, if I see someone, you know, on my airplane with a turban and a beard, I'm going to be careful. With all that, why haven't we seen attacks by native-born American Muslims? Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand the Muslim community in the United States, one-third of whom are African-Americans, converts, who might have a very different feeling. But two-thirds are fully of, Muslim heritage, some from the Middle East, some from South Asia. But before we get to anything in America, I want to turn to another country. I want to turn to France. Sometimes you can learn by counterexample, and I think France gives a great example of what we're not and what we do better than France with regard to our immigrant populations. Now, France does have a high immigrant population, as we do. We have, I'm sure you know, a large group of people, particularly from Mexico, a lot of illegal immigrants. In fact, I think my argument today really needs to be thought of in the context of what we do with illegal immigrants. Keep that in the back of your mind as I give my history story here. But let's talk about France. France, you have about one quarter of every French citizen has a foreign-born grandparent. Okay, so they have a large immigrant population, still not quite as large as the United States. But here's the difference. In France, you are French. You are supposed to forget your heritage. I mean, even the interior minister of France, a guy by the name of Nicolas Sarkozy, son of a Hungarian immigrant on one side, grandson of a Greek-Jewish immigrant on the other, he is fully French. In fact, he's talking about the Muslims in France as if they're not French. The idea is, in France, you truly have a melting pot. You remember studying the melting pot in American history? What's a melting pot? It's sort of, you throw all these metals in one big pot, and you burn them under heavy fire, and then steel is forged out of that, right? So you have all these metals come together as one. From many different countries, we come as one. And many have used that to describe the American experience, bringing in immigrants from all across the world and making them American. I don't think that is an apt metaphor for the United States of America. I think it's an apt metaphor for France. France tries very hard to take all of its immigrants and melt them into one French national citizen, right? They don't have an Ellis Island Museum like we do. They don't have St. Patrick's Day. They don't have, you know, Cinco de Mayo or gay pride parades. Right, they don't have maybe they do have gay pride parades, I don't know. But they don't have the separate identities that we have in America with African Americans, Italian Americans. You can be, if you're an Italian American, and many of you are, you can say with full pride, I'm Italian, right? I'm Italian and I love Italian culture and I'm American. Or I'm Irish and I'm American. Or I'm Jewish and I'm American. And there's no conflict there. I'm Asian. I'm American. There is a conflict in France. You don't even have the ethnic comedians and writers that we have in America, right? I mean, America, some of the funniest comedians tend to be from some of our subcultures, black or Jewish or gay or now we even have some Muslim comics, right? No, it doesn't happen like that in France. They don't have a Woody Allen, right, or a Philip Roth talking about the Jewish subculture. They have the French culture. You are supposed to be French. They don't even compile statistics on racial or ethnic identity. Because in France, and this goes back to the French Revolution, they have their historical reasons like we do. In France, everyone was supposed to become one people, one nation. France actually began with all the regions speaking different languages. They wanted to make it one country, one France. You were supposed to give up your identity. In fact, when the question came of giving Jews citizens in revolutionary France, the famous statement was made, everything must be refused to the Jews as a nation, and everything granted to the Jews as individuals. Let me repeat. Everything must be refused to the Jews as a nation, and granted to the Jews as individuals. In other words, France, which was one of the first countries to give Jews rights anywhere in Europe, said, as long as the Jews are French, they can be Jewish in their own individual time. But they have to be French first. And the fact that they're Jewish, let's just not talk about that. Nothing allowed them as a nation. And we've seen that again in France with denying Muslim citizens the right to wear their religious garb in French schools. The story goes on. I got to take a break, though. If you want to call in and discuss this and argue with me, agree or disagree, feel free. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
All right, men, you know who's going to be out in front tonight? Our boss, the President of the United States.
Golden Age of Movies presents the Ronald Reagan Classic Film Collection with three great feature-length films. Ronald Reagan was beloved because he embodied the ideals that made America great. It's fascinating to see Reagan as a dashing young actor, knowing the man on the screen will go on to become president and one of the greatest world leaders. This classic collection is nearly 6 hours long and includes Reagan in Tennessee's Partner, Santa Fe Trail with Errol Flynn, and This is the Army with George Murphy and Kate Smith.
If you order now, we'll include hilarious classic 50s TV with Ronald Reagan appearing with Milton Berle, Steve Allen, Gary Moore, and James Dean.
All three movies and the classic television, a $30 value for only $19.95.
Order online at ReaganMovies.com or call 1-800-834-0444. 1-800-834-0444.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. he can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're having a dose of history and philosophy along with your politics this hour to answer what I think is a very important question that goes to policies. And that is, why haven't American Muslims revolted? In France, as a counterexample, and I think an interesting counterexample, you have these great riots throughout French cities where Muslims are revolting. And in Britain, you have terrorist attacks by native-born Brits, right? People born in Britain, Muslim religion, and I don't mean in any way to characterize all British Muslims or even all French Muslims as violent or attacking, but clearly there's a large number of them. And the question is, why is it happening in France and England and not happening here? And to do that, I think we have to go into a little bit of history. And I was explaining how French identity is different from American identity. In France, you got to be French. You can't be French slash Italian, French slash Jewish, French slash Muslim. You're just French. And you're not supposed to talk about where you came from. It truly is a melting pot. I mean, even the Basques have been fighting the French to teach some Basque in their schools. No, sorry. And they've been on that territory for, I don't know, 1,000 years? No, you must be French. And to some extent, you know, that worked for a lot of years. You had the idea that everyone could become French. In some ways, France had less racism even than the United States, because the idea was everyone was fully French. We could erase these differences. But with the New Age, with French having lost its colonial wars, and as there were wars against Algeria, really vicious wars, actually, more vicious than the wars we fought, colonial wars, on both sides, both the French and the Algerians, the French started to develop a strong racial antagonism toward the Muslims there, and the Muslims started revolting. You see, the Muslims came to France as cheap labor, and they were considered, watch these words now, they were considered guest workers. The French said they came here for labor, they're guest workers, they'll eventually go home. Obviously, the clearest comparison is to what George Bush wants to do with the illegal immigrants in this country. They're guest workers, they're going to go home. And in fact, they would put them in special housing projects, separating them, segregating them from the rest of the French population. The French ideal of integrating everyone in one great French country was gone. They'd be in separate, segregated places. They were considered guest workers. Well, now, this started in the 60s, there's generations of people born in France that are still considered immigrants. The United States of America has in our wonderful 14th Amendment to the Constitution, it says that if you're born on American soil, you're an American. You could be the child of illegal immigrants that wander across, pardon the cliche, but wander across the Rio Grande, pregnant woman, boom, has a baby. That baby is an American citizen. If you're born on American soil, you're an American. Not true in France. Not true in most of Europe. Not true in Germany, Switzerland. If you're born there, you may still not be a citizen. When I lived in Switzerland, and I did live in Switzerland for a year, there were three generations of Italians where the people I went to school with were born in Switzerland, and their parents were born in Switzerland, but their grandparents were born in Italy, so they weren't Swiss. They were still Italians. And the Muslims in France are not French. They are not considered French anymore. They are separate. They are kept in separate places to live. They are not considered French. They're considered immigrants, even today, which must be very offensive to them, particularly by the interior minister, who himself is the son of Hungarian immigrants. And I think the real thing, though, that brought the French revolts to the fore, the real thing which I railed against on this show a year ago, is when the French said that the Muslims couldn't wear the scarves that women wear, Muslim women wear to school, to public school. They could not wear these religious garments to school. To an American, where you see crosses and Jewish stars, and yes, of course, you do see, particularly here in Washington, D.C., you see women with the head coverings all the time, you think nothing of it. They're simply, they're expressing their religion. But in France, to express your religion publicly is an attack on the state. French first. Religion is supposed to be quiet. Interestingly, it is precisely the fact that America allows the free expression of religion, I think, that has made Muslims welcome in this country, prevented terrorist attacks. More in America after the break.
This is Newsbreak. Terrorists in Iraq say they have killed their American hostage because the United States did not give in to their demand for the release of all Iraqi prisoners. Their claim so far has not been verified. Another group of terrorists has extended until Saturday the deadline it gave for the U.S. and Britain to give in to their demands. They say they'll kill the four Westerners they're holding hostage. The commander of U.S. military operations in Afghanistan believes Osama bin Laden is still alive, still running al-Qaeda. General Carl Eikenberry says the hunt for bin Laden continues to be a top priority for the U.S. military. On Wall Street, the Dow dropped 56 points to 10,755. The NASDAQ was down 6 points at 2246. The S&P 500 lost a point to 1255. House and Senate negotiators worked out their differences and agreed to reauthorize key provisions of the USA Patriot Act. More news at usaradio.com.
Good morning, honey.
What are you so happy about?
Well, before you told me about Christian credit counselors, I used to count credit cards in my sleep. I took your suggestion and called Christian credit counselors, and in just 20 minutes, they were able to consolidate all of our credit card bills into one affordable automatic payment.
So we don't have to worry about late charges, overdrafts, and due dates?
That's right, and we'll be out of debt and have good credit ratings in half the time. Some of our creditors even reduce their interest and payments for us because we're with Christian credit counselors. See, it's all right here in our monthly progress report. We'll know exactly when we'll be debt-free.
Now we can both have peace of mind.
If you have too many high-interest credit card bills and want peace of mind, too, call the friendly people at Christian Credit Counselors today. Toll-free at 877-348-FREE. That's 877-348-F-R-E-E. Or visit them on the web at christianccc.org. It's free and easy. Call 877-348-FREE. Not available in all states.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Organized crime is making money on prescription drugs. According to the World Health Organization, more than $30 billion is spent annually on counterfeit medications. The problem is worse in developing countries without strong regulation of prescription drugs. In many African and Asian countries, anti-malarial medicines and treatments for AIDS are frequent targets of counterfeiters. But Great Britain, Europe, and the United States are finding cases of fake Lipitor, Viagra, steroids, or Valium. Ready access to prescription products through the Internet may make it easier for criminals to distribute their bogus pills across international boundaries. To counter the problem, manufacturers plan to begin using radio frequency identification, which would make pills easier to track and harder to counterfeit. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Why have the French Muslims revolted while American Muslims are peaceful? We have not had an attack on American soil by American Muslims. And yet they certainly have had it in London, right? You may have seen, in fact, you probably didn't see the what was it? It was a video, I think, of Mohammed Sadiq Khan. You know who he is? He's the terrorist born in England, born in London, speaks Arabic with a West Yorkshire accent, who said, quote, to the Britons, and explaining why he murdered 50 of them, quote, "Until you stop the bombing, gassing, imprisonment, and torture of my people, we will not stop this fight." until you stop the bombing, gassing, imprisonment, and torture of my people. We will not stop this fight. Who are my people? I think it's fair to say he wasn't referring to the English, even though he was born in England. No, he was referring to Arab people. When he said my people, he meant Arab people. He did not mean English people. And that's what Al-Qaeda is all about, right? I mean, it's not like Osama bin Laden really has people that he's instilled in terrorist cells all around the world. There may be a few of those. But mostly, he's hoping to portray an ideal. The communists and Nazis succeeded, to the extent they did, not because Hitler or Stalin and their spies went into every neighborhood and convinced people to be a Nazi or a communist. There was some of that. But communism succeeded because people believed in it. Nazism succeeded because people believed in it. And yes, to the extent Al-Qaeda has had a success, call it Islamofascism, whatever you want to call it, radical Islam has succeeded because people believe in it. Not because Al-Qaeda has gone in and convinced them. And not because, as some conservative radio hosts stupidly say, because they're promised 72 virgins. That's ridiculous. Oh, yeah, that's right. They kill themselves because they're promised 72 virgins. You know, maybe, you know, a few of those killers with very low IQs believe that. But that's really not enough on which to base a mass movement. It really shows a very simplistic look at this. No, the people who are supporting Al-Qaeda are not crazy. They don't hate our values. They're doing it because they believe in their own values. And they believe the United States is out to get them. They believe the United States has declared war on Islam. We have plenty of stupid American leaders and generals saying exactly that kind of stupid stuff, including our own president who said we're going on a crusade. Oops, bad word. In fact, even American Muslims, 38% in a recent Zoghbi poll, believe that the United States is waging a war on Islam. 38%. But they're not attacking and they're not killing. And God willing, whatever God you pray to, they won't in the future. Why not? Well, the reason I gave you a detailed discussion of France is not just because I find it interesting and you try and explain the French revolts, but to compare it obviously to America. How are we different from France? Why is it that we're not seeing these kind of revolts here in America? Well, partly it's economic. I don't dispute that. A lot of it is economic. Muslims in France and England and the Netherlands, they don't have access to higher education there. The way higher education works is it's based on a certain school system and knowledge of the language, and you have to know people, and frankly, very few people go to higher education in European countries. When I lived in Switzerland, I was surprised to learn that only 10% of the entire Swiss population went there. So clearly the poorer minorities went even less. Big difference. In America, American Muslims are going to higher education. They are going to college. Unemployment, definitely different. In the French Muslim ghettos, 40% unemployment. In America, we have the same levels pretty much in the United States. Actually, greater than white, but lower than blacks. If you look at American Muslims, the average income of American Muslims was $52,000, which is almost the $53,000 by the white household. So the level of education is about the same. And you also find in America, unlike in France and Europe, very few ghettos, which may surprise you since we have definitely ghettoed African Americans and to some extent Latinos. In fact, most American Muslims live in populations that are largely white or white and black, or white, black, and Latino. In fact, Detroit is the only exception. And again, I'm thankful to Spencer Ackerman for these statistics in the New Republic article, Why American Muslims Haven't Turned to Terrorism. In the 10 metropolitan regions with the greatest concentration of Muslims, they're all ethnically integrated. The one exception is Detroit. Every other neighborhood with a lot of Muslims, is at least 60% white, only about 5% Muslim. Again, about a third of American Muslims are African American. And basically, American Muslims are middle class, and solidly integrated with their non-Muslim neighbors. And they're succeeding. They're succeeding in the American dream. They understand the American dream as applying to every American. You don't have to be Christian to live the American dream. You don't have to be white. Not if you truly believe in it. You can succeed. In France, in Europe, there's high unemployment. There's few social prospects. There's just basically a lot of isolation. But you know what? It's more than economics. I would argue that the heart of the matter is not so much economics, because, you know, that we have poor and rich immigrants. The heart of the matter is the American treatment of religion. Most Americans understand that if you are a religious person, that's fine. Many Americans, I think too few, but many Americans understand that if you're not a religious person, that's okay. That's your right. And it's not about Christianity, per se, but about being religious. You know, but religious Christians often ask me all the time if I'm Christian. I say, no, I'm Jewish. And then they want to know if I believe in God. And I say I do. And then I'm sort of okay for them. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we should treat atheists with absolute equality. And I think a lot of people are prejudiced against atheists. But I would argue that in America, there's more prejudice against atheists than prejudice against Muslims. If a woman wants to wear the Muslim headdress in a grocery store or a public school, that's her right. And it's understood to be her right. And we can't even conceive of the French saying you can't wear the Muslim scarf to school. Well, of course you can. And at the same time, we still have in this country, and I hope it doesn't change, we still have a public school system that does not teach a specific religion in that school. Our schools are not allowed to teach Christianity. They can teach all religions, or they can teach no religion. But they can't say the United States wants to teach you to be Christian. And so Muslims understand that they are fully American, even if they're not Christian. And I would argue that this difference, this religious tolerance that dates back to the very first Puritan settlers coming to this country to escape religious intolerance, that is codified in the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says the government cannot establish a religion nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. Both elements are vitally important. 96% of Muslims in America care strongly about their religion, and they can practice it freely and openly in the United States. And to do so makes them no less American. That is the American secret that Europeans have not learned. And as long as we keep this up, I think we'll find there'll be very few attacks in America. But what does this mean for our policies? What does it mean for things like the Patriot Act, surveillance of mosques, the argument by some that we should have Christian prayer in schools? My answer to that will be coming up after the break. Toll free, if you want to call in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional, proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call can literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob McConnell, and as the host of the X Zone Radio Show, I know that miracles really do happen. The IISR is asking for your support to help spinal regeneration get into the clinical trial stages. Spinal regeneration research will not only help those with spinal cord injuries, but will also help those with neurological diseases. Give today and let those know who are suffering that you really do care and that you want to be part of this real medical miracle. Help support doctors, scientists, and researchers who have come so far and are so close to making this miracle happen, and all it needs is your support. Please give generously. To make your online donation or to find out more about spinal regeneration, please visit the International Institute for Spinal Regeneration at www.iisr.net. That's www.iisr.net. Or mail your donation to the IISR, 762 Upper James Street, Suite 266, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L9C3A2.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. No guest today, just me in a monologue musing about why it is that American Muslims have not attacked, have not revolted, and yet you see, well, vicious terrorist attacks by British-born Muslims in Britain. You see the revolts, the widespread revolts and riots in France. Why aren't they attacking here? And I've argued lots of things. Partly it's economic. Muslims have more opportunity in America to live the American dream. Partly it is integration. Most American Muslims do not live in segregated communities, but they live among other Americans of various different identities. But I think the heart of the question is religious pluralism. The fact that, unlike France or even Turkey, which is an Islamic country but a secular one, where they're trying to prevent people from wearing religious garments in school and so forth. In America, it's perfectly fine to be religious. It's perfectly fine to be religious. You know, people often charge liberals as being anti-religious or at least anti-religious in public schools. That's not the case. The ACLU has, in fact, defended the rights of kids to have Bible study in public school after class. But that's the magic of the American system. It's that religion is strong and voluntary. That if you want to be religious, that's fine, but it's not forced upon you by the state. Virtually every European country has a state religion, and it is Christianity. And in Switzerland, when I lived there, they actually require you. They take your tax dollars and require you to support a state church. In England, they have the Anglican Church. Not in America. In America, we have a separation of church and state. And I would argue that not only has that made the state strong and free from too much religious influence, it has made religions strong. Not just the mainstream religion of Christianity, but all the different sects of Christianity, Judaism as well, and also Islam. Yes, you are free to be religious in America. And terrorism is virtually non-existent among American Muslims. And it's not because Al-Qaeda isn't trying. Saudi Arabia, for example, the Saudi Arabian government is doing their best. They, of course, are the main supporters, unfortunately, of radical Islam. They're doing their best to get a wall of resentment, if you will, between American Muslims and Christians and Jews. There's a booklet distributed by the Saudi embassy in Washington. So the Saudi embassy is right here in Washington, D.C., is putting booklets throughout mosques saying that, well, this is the quote, "He who casts doubt about their infidelity leaves no doubt about his own infidelity." What does that mean? It means that Muslims, if you associate with Christians and Jews, then maybe you're not a good Muslim. But it's failing. The Saudis, Al-Qaeda, they're trying to get Muslims to say, as the British terrorists did, "Our people are being attacked. We are Muslim first and America second." But America doesn't put you to that choice. We don't ask people to be Americans first and Muslims second, Americans first and Jews second, Americans first and Christians second, Italian second, Irish second. In America, you can be fully Irish and fully American, fully Jewish, fully American, fully Muslim, fully American. We are not a melting pot. We are a glorious mosaic where actually our differences are celebrated. where people are interested and say, wow, you're Muslim? That's cool. What do you believe about this or that? And that is the America in which most Muslims live. And that is the America where we've had so few attacks by Islamic terrorists born in America. There have been 400 terrorism suspects that we've gotten, and only 14 have links to Al-Qaeda. And about the only link against an American was this guy, Ahmed Ali, in Virginia, convicted of trying to kill Bush, but he wasn't American. He was Pakistani. He hadn't been here many years. He hadn't had a chance to assimilate the American ethos. So what does this mean for U.S. policy? How should we react once we know that it is precisely the fact that you can be a hyphenated American that has made our country so great? One of the things it knows is that it is precisely the suspicion of American Muslims that is dangerous. Just as Japanese Americans in World War II would never have attacked the United States, except once we rounded them up and put them in detention camps, they may have a reason to. Similarly, when we do surveillance of U.S. mosques, when we talk about, you know, Muslims going on planes and to be suspicious, if we ask people to prove their loyalties to America, that is exactly what they did in Europe. They said, you're not French, you're Muslim, and it makes people angry. And I also want you to think about our immigrants in the United States, including our illegal immigrants. The problem that they did in France was they called them guest workers, and they said, you're not a true French citizen. You're going to work here, and then you're going to go home. That is exactly Bush's plans for immigrants. But see, the magic of America and the reason why America works is our 14th Amendment, is the fact if you're born here, you're an American, is the fact you don't have to leave your religion outside of your American identity. So when we go around and we say, happy holidays, and I'm going to do a whole show on this next week as we approach the Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadan holidays. When you say happy holidays, you're being inclusive. You're saying all Americans enjoy the holidays. Now, not all Americans want to do that. There's a growing number of radical Christians, people like Bill O'Reilly, saying, you got to say Merry Christmas. Well, you know, saying Merry Christmas to a Christian makes perfect sense. But saying Merry Christmas to all Americans, including those that don't celebrate Christmas, is a sign that you are not American. If you're not Christian, you're not American. And that's what they did in Europe. And that's what led to these separate identities. And on a day like today, when the House and the Senate have agreed on renewing so much of the Patriot Act, which depends on surveillance of people who are not American, and depends on separating Americans from non-Americans and suggesting that those that come here cannot be patriotic like Americans, we are moving toward the kind of country that we don't want to move to. We're moving to the kind of treatment of Muslims like they're doing in Europe. I do not want our country to become one where Muslims feel like they have to revolt. So far, the American dream, religious pluralism, is working. Let's not go where we shouldn't go. 877-528-TALK. I'll be back after this.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-297-7907. 800-297-7907. That's 800-297-7907.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. This has been sort of my day to be a professor, to talk about history, philosophy. But I've been trying to answer this question of why it is that you have Palestinian attacks in Israel. You have attacks in Europe by native-born British Muslims. You have the revolts in France. And yet in America, we have an increasing Islamic population. And I, for one, don't fear them. We have not had any terrorist attack by native-born Muslims. This at a time when we have an administration increasingly using anti-Islamic rhetoric, talking about a crusade. You have generals in the army and stupid right-wing talk show hosts like Ann Coulter saying things like, we need to convert them all and kill their leaders, making people think it's a war against Islam. If anything, this should be ripe ground for Islamic terrorism. Al-Qaeda is looking to the United States, looking to American Muslims. Saudi Arabia is filling American mosques. They hope to get some, at least, 5% of these 3 million plus Muslims in America revolting against their government, doing what they're doing in France and England and the Netherlands. And it's not happening here. Not 5%, not 1%. I'd venture to say not 1,000. Why are American Muslims so loyal to a country that, without being attacked, invaded Iraq, to a country that's clearly trying to grab all the oil in the Middle East? Why are they so loyal? The answer is, it's got nothing to do with the Bush administration. Sorry, Ed, who commented on my blog, saying something positive that's happened in the last 5 years. If anything, Ed, I think the Bush administration is damaging this. With things like the Patriot Act, with things like, the surveillance of mosques. I'll give Bush this credit. He hasn't openly declared a war on Islam. He has openly brought Muslims in, stood by his side, said the problem is not Islam, it is radical Islam. Some of his fellow travelers have not been so kind. But Ed, no, it's not Bush. And Fred Dawes, who writes on the blog, it's not that there's not a threat. Islamic fascism, radical Islam, is a threat. The people of Al-Qaeda murdered 3,000 Americans. They are threatening, but what they aren't is American. And W.D., who writes, basically, we need to prevent all immigration. You know, I don't think that would solve the problem. W.D., we are a nation of immigrants. And interestingly enough, it is precisely the fact that we celebrate immigration in America, Minutemen notwithstanding on our borders. But we celebrate immigration. We celebrate Ellis Island. We celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We have Jews going to Chinese restaurants. We have blacks going into delis. We all try soul food. I, for one, like Thai, Indian, Ethiopian food. We celebrate each other's cultures. We have truly a mosaic American society of diverse populations, where we say, what's your heritage? I'm Italian. Oh, that's cool. You know, I'm part Irish, part Jewish, part black. That's what's worked. In fact, to the extent that there is racism, and there is, I agree, still racism in this country, it is people still treating whites, still treating blacks, as somehow different, as somehow not part of the American dream, the American culture, not part of the one America. It is the American strength. It is the American dream. They can bring, and I know of no country like it, no country like it in the world, like the United States of America. We are a country of immigrants. 1% of us are Native Americans, and yes, we did awful things to them. Maybe 12% of us are descendants of slaves, and we did awful things to them. But 87% of us came here from nations all over the world. were persecuted for our religious beliefs, came here for economic